gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Look at somebody and say, get that. I want to talk about in this series, outside the box. Particularly outside the box church. That's what I want to talk about. Scripture 5 and 6 says, hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Amen? Amen. Outside the box. Look at somebody and tell them, outside the box.
Outside the box.
Tell them again, outside the box.
Outside the box.
Today is outside the box church. Now, if you go to the connection station, there's flyers on the connection station, which have every week and the title and a little summary of what that week's sermon is going to be about. So if you want to pick that up at the connection desk, you can get that at connection desk, and it will show you the whole series. That's what we'll be talking about each week. Amen. Today we're talking about outside the box church. Did you ever imagine that your life is settled into a nice, neat box? Here's your work box. Here's your work box. Here's your family box. Thing in that box right there, that's the family box. Amen. And here's my volunteer box when I'm volunteering. Amen. Get that box up there. You always got to make sure our boxes are nice and neat. And we try to keep them organized. You see, I already start building it wrong. You put the bigger box on the bottom. Heavy box right there. Put that box right there. And then you got your exercise box. Yeah, and then you have your junk box. And it seems to the point that we keep all these boxes balanced. Amen. And we faithfully do our meditation to find where God is present in each one of the boxes as we go through the day. And just when we think we have life almost balanced and right where everything needs to be, that's when the despair of control sets in and something happens in your family box and it topples all the other boxes. Now you're in despair. The control of despair sets in. And the more we have life figured out according to our plan, ironically, the more despair we seem to feel. A hard question, is this it? I have all my boxes checked. Why am I feeling so empty? That emptiness tells us that no matter how good it feels to be secure and comfortable with our boxes, with all our worldview and all our ways of doing things, God is outside of all these boxes. You can't put God in a box. I'm trying to help somebody. You can't fit him inside your mind. You can't fit him inside of where you want him to be and what you want him to do. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. God is outside the box. It's almost as if God is saying, oh, you think you have me figured out? Then watch this. Now deal with that. Oh, you think you have me figured out? Now deal with that. And he says, you thought I was over there, but I'm really over here. With a voice that's echoing far from the other side of your warehouse of life. He's been calling you to come out of that box into a place that you're not even familiar with, but where God wants you to be. Most likely, God's voice is calling us from the last place we'd like to look. The place where we positively would never go. Maybe he's calling us from a group of people that we so closely intertwined with. Maybe it's giving up something that we thought we couldn't live without. Maybe it's going places we've never been before. No matter how challenging it is, though, to move outside the comfort zone of our usual boxes, we got to move. Tell somebody you got to move. It's the only way to end the endless and empty despair of staying in the same condition and control box all of our life. It's the only way to really find God, or at least get a few steps closer to God, when you take a step out of the box. Amen. Peter knew this when he took a step out the boat. Everybody else was comfortable in the boat. But Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come on." Some of us are in the boat saying, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come," and we're still standing. Even in the church, I've heard church folks asking, how do we get out the fourth side of these walls, outside of these four walls? If there were ever a generation that need to be reached, it's this generation today. We're living in a generation where some of our young people have never been to church. That's bad. Because before this, every generation at least had some experience in church. Hello, somebody. But we're living in a generation now where young folks don't even know what church is. Never been to church, never heard about church, don't even know what the church is. Back in our day, we'd say mama took us to church. At least we could say that. At least we could say mama dragged us to church. And if you was in Strayhorn household, you going to church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no debating it. Sunday morning, you getting up going to church. Even if you sick, because you're going to church, we're going to pray for you. You get ill. You be all right. Pray for you before you leave the house. Get you a couple of Tylenols. Get in the car. Daddy would say, Sunday morning, my house will be empty. If I ain't in it, you ain't in it. And if you ain't going to church, you getting out of here. Amen. But we're living with a generation that don't even have that kind of experience to even say they go. Because those children who was in their parents' house who didn't like the church, now they grown, decided, I ain't going to church. Now they're raising kids who never been to church because they stopped going to church. And so now they're raising kids, don't know how to raise them, don't know what to do with them, and letting them run the streets and get in all kind of trouble because they never took them to church to learn that the Bible said to train up a child in the way they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. They don't know that. The child don't know. The Bible say, honor your mother and your father. This is a promise from the Lord that your days may be long on the earth. They don't know these things. They don't know, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. They don't know these things. If there was ever a generation that was harder to reach with traditional means, it's this one. A lot of young folks run even if they see the church. But how? How do we get outside the box? First, let's answer the question, what is the box? What is the box? Box is traditional mindset. The box is comfort zones. The box is our church history. Think on that for a second. The box is generational boundaries. The box is our personal histories and experiences. The box is darkness and helplessness. It's never been done this way mentality. That's what the box is. Church, this is not a traditional church. I doubt that we're ever conformed to anyone's ideal of a traditional church. Tradition has always had a way of holding you in your past, which some people love, but it also has a way of limiting your future. Sticking with the norm is often safer but it seldom allows you the opportunity to experience the miraculous life that God has planned for you in your life or in your ministry. We understand that to be effective in this community and in the communities that will come that we come from, we're going to have to be a church that is outside the box of normal church traditionalisms. Conformity cannot be the starting place for Bright Star Community Church. As a matter of fact, it was never the starting place of any move of God or effective ministry mentioned in the Bible. When you look at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, you see very quickly that his ministry was definitely an outside the box ministry. What are you talking about, Strayhorn? His very birth was completely unconventional. It was a virgin birth. Amen. Haven't heard of that since. There has not been a woman since Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary that ever come forth and said, I'm having a baby and I've never been with a man. Amen. His childhood was unusual. At 12 years old, he's in the synagogue teaching the teachers. When have a 12-year-old taught the teachers? With wisdom and knowledge and understanding beyond their years. His first known miracle was controversial, even to this day when he turned water into wine. Some people, that's why I can go ahead and do it, because he turned water into wine. The choosing of his disciples were completely unorthodox. He chose ignorant fishermen, tax collectors, publicans, unlearned men. But they said this, aren't they unlearned men? But it looked like they've been with Jesus. I'd rather have somebody who's been with Jesus than somebody with a PhD in theology. Many other miracles so strange, many never believed they even happened. He purposely waited for Lazarus to die before he went to help him. Because he knew when he called him back, he got to call him back from glory. You got to understand. Your position. God is calling us to be outside the box. Because Jesus was always outside the box. The religious people of his day thought him to be so unorthodox and so eccentric in his ministry that they hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. Let's look at Luke 4, 28 and 30. All the people in the synagogue, say church folk. All the church folk were furious when they heard this. If you read up above, Jesus was just preaching to them. He was just telling them how to live their life in the kingdom of God. He was telling them about the power of the resurrection. He was telling them about heaven and kingdom things. And they got mad. They got up, drove him out of town. Took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. And we get mad when somebody just talk about us in the church. Look at somebody and say, shut your mouth and get used to it. You hear what they was doing to Jesus? You see this? They got so mad that they grabbed a hold of Jesus, took him outside of town, took him on the edge of the cliff to throw him off. But look at the anointing. Tell somebody, look at the anointing. Look at that. I got to have a little talk with Jesus when I get there, Mr. Glenn. I got to talk to this brother. I got to talk to him because the Bible said, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So when they put their hands on you, the Bible said, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. Think about it. How different would this church have to be that the rest of the religious world would want to destroy us because we're so different than the norm? Church, I don't know how many times I can tell you how many folks done said, how y'all doing that? This is how it was for Jesus. His ministry was so different from what other people thought it should be that they failed to recognize who he really was. They were so mad at what he was doing instead of looking at who he was doing it. Their ideal of God, of who God was and what God was, completely different than what who and what he really was. They missed his appearing because they were stuck in a box, so to speak, in their understanding and concept of who Jesus really was supposed to be. Jesus' ministry was and is the expression of out-of-the-box church thinking. Over and over again, he expressed to the teachers and religious people that what they thought was right religiously was actually wrong, and what they thought was wrong was actually right. What are you talking about, Strayhorn? Well, on the Sabbath, he was healing people. They said, that's wrong. To heal him, you ain't supposed to do no work on the Sabbath. Jesus said, well, is it better for me to heal him on the Sabbath or let him go on about his way crippled? Who, having an ox or a horse and it's hungry, won't feed him on the Sabbath? And if you do that for your animals, should we not do this for the men and people of God? They thought they had God figured out. They had probed and dissected and analyzed God's word until it had them all, had God all wrapped up in a neat, tidy little package called Judaism. They had teachers who would toe the line, so to speak, and cause the people to believe what their little box religion is. To the point that if anyone ever stepped outside the line of conformity of Judaism, they were shunned, disinherited, and even persecuted. To leave the box mean heresy. To mean the box means sacrilege. To leave the box was to leave the way it was, and it never been done that way before. To leave the box was to bring upon you the judgment and persecution of the religious order of the day. And in Jesus' case, to leave the box was to put your life in jeopardy, even to the point of the cross. But guess what? In spite of the threats of the cross, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. It ain't going to be easy, but follow me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Take up your cross and follow me. And following me, I will lead you into glory. His ministry was too immense for the box. His anointing was too great for the box. His zeal was too huge for the box. His passion was too vast for a box. Jesus' ministry did not fit protocol. He came in, preached the word of God one day, and then he sat back down and all the people just stared at him. Like, hold on, you ain't supposed to sit there. That seat was reserved for God. And he looked at them again and said, what I have read in your hearing have been done in your sight today. Then they got mad again. Who he think he is? Jesus said, I am God. The anointing of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to set the captives free. What you think the Messiah to be is not what you think. The Messiah has come to give liberty to all, not just the Jews. His ministry did not fit standard procedure. Some of us, we have some folk in here today who think that something is wrong with them because they feel out of place. Sitting in here right now. I want to help somebody. Listen, you're not out of place. People just keep trying to put you in a box and keep you trying to work within the box, when God is calling you outside the box. The box is just the foundation. God is calling some of us to build up on the box, around the box, and into new territories. So don't feel like you're out of place. Start listening to God and how God wants to use you once you step out of the box. And don't worry about the folks still in the box, because what they think in the box don't matter, because once you get outside the box, God will give you new revelation. So the only way that they could stop Jesus was to kill him. But killing him still didn't stop him. Listen, I thank God Jesus didn't conform. I thank God Jesus did not imitate what some other preacher down the road was doing. I'm so thankful that Jesus was not a clone of some other preacher or some other priest or somebody else with a big name evangelist somewhere trying to preach it. He was Jesus all by himself. He was who he was, and if you didn't like who he was, that's too bad. And it probably meant you would miss out on the miracles of your life. So many came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible said the young man walked away with a sad face. Everybody that came in contact with Jesus didn't have a happy ending. Because they didn't believe in this outside of the box preacher. There was nothing common about Jesus. There was nothing usual about Jesus. There was nothing traditional about Jesus. And there was nothing common, usual, or traditional about his church and his ministry and how he is producing ministry in the church even today. The same people who sought to kill Jesus was the same people who tried to destroy his church. But one scripture I read tells me the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. That's why the church grew to over 3,120 in the first day the church was started. That's why it grew by the thousands daily after that. It actually reached all of Asia Minor in the space of just 2 years. That's why Rome eventually adopted, listen to this, Rome eventually adopted Jesus' religion as a national religion because as much as Rome persecuted it, it kept growing. No matter how many Christians was thrown to the gladiators and into the pit, into the Colosseum of Rome, Christianity continued to flourish and multiply. I guess they said if you can't beat them, join them. Jesus' church was outside the box. The church in the book of Acts did things no other religion would do. It reached out and helped people. It fed the hungry. It clothed the naked. It delivered the oppressed. It embraced baptism. And it desired to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't into programming. How many of us know that we're outside the box church? We're not concerned about what is popular. We want to know what is biblical. Hello, somebody. We're not concerned what this group or that group is saying or doing, or our concern is what the Bible says and what the Spirit is going to teach us and lead us into each and every day of our lives. Are we being led spiritually by the Spirit of God? An outside the church box can reach its generation. An outside the box church can go places other churches only dream of. How many people have asked me, Pastor, do y'all do outdoor services on that stage? I wish our church can do service outside. We are sitting on the cusp of what God really wants us to do. And that is to change the face of this community. God is calling us into a position outside of the box. Despite its uncomfortability, despite the folks that we're going to meet on the street, despite of what's going to come our way, God is calling us to reach beyond where we are today. Amen. I know everybody ain't going to go. Amen. But God don't need everybody. All right. He just needs some faithful folk who are willing to step out the boat and get uncomfortable in an uncomfortable world. To go in places you've never been before. Y'all get ready for our service, our midnight service outside. It's more people out here at midnight than it is during the day. It's more people out here at midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been here at midnight. I've been here at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I know what it is out here. I've been on the street. I talked to the brothers hanging out there. And it's more folk out here at that time of night than it is right now. So if they won't come to the church, let's get outside the box and take the church to them. Let's give them an alternative. Instead of going to the late night club, come to the late night church. Y'all think I'm playing? Y'all think I'm playing? We have more folk in here at midnight than I do right now. So meet them where they at. Do you know the people that we would draw if they see the lights on at midnight and hearing the word of God being preached, singing going on? They're going to want to know, what's this church is about? What's going on in there? How many would drive down the street on their way to the club but get a cat eye out of the corner of their eye? They see the church open and the God speak to their heart. Turn the car around. Won't he do it? Some of us know God turned us around right when we was going into our mess. God said, turn it around. We just got to give the alternative. We just got to get outside the box. We got to let them know that Jesus operates at midnight. Didn't Paul and Silas do it? And rock the whole jailhouse. Tell them it's time to get out. Tell them it's time to get out. An outside the box church can minister to and win people that other churches would judge and avoid. However, to be outside the box means that you're going to take some heat from the inside the box thinkers. But to be outside the box means you're not all that concerned about what the inside the box thinkers think anyway. Listen, we're not trying to be disrespectful or condescending. We're just trying to listen to God. We're trying to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church and the community that we're living in. God has us here for 50 years. Over 50 years we've been on this corner, and it's not for nothing. God is not moving things out of the way and out of the block for us to do something bigger and better so that we can minister to more people to stay within the same box. There's nothing preventing us from getting outside the box now. Now, I'm not going to wait till the new church is built. We're going to do it now. Amen. Listen. The box is designed to contain something. You put stuff in the box eventually to take it out of the box. The box is intended to enclose something. The box is built to keep certain things in. But also the result is that it also keeps some things out. Hello, somebody. But the things that are in the box, if it is to be used to have an impact outside the box, you got to get it out of the box. But note this, to come out of the box, you better have the Spirit and the wisdom of God. Jesus came to them in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's outside the box. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You step out of the box, Jesus got your back. The sad thing about a box church is that the things that it keeps out is most often the very thing that God intended to get in the first place. It's the lost and dying world that God wants in the church. If there's one thing that I have noticed about our church, is that we have no problem getting guests and visitors to come in. Most often I hear from the people who visit our church and they say things like how much they love the church, the music, the people, we're friendly, the preaching, they feel the Spirit of God, we're a small church with a mega feel, they love the church. Why? Because our church is out the box. We have no problem reaching non-church people. And the reason why is because we love and embrace non-church folk, regardless of where they are and what point of life they are at. Because guess what? If it had not been by the grace of God, so would me. And I believe the reason is we have some folk in here who believe, who love Jesus like Jesus loved others. They love unconditionally. Where my unconditionally folks at? We don't look at what people look like. We don't look at where they are or where they have been. Because I got plenty has-beens in here right now. So I can't be looking at where somebody come from. I'm glad God has shown me that we are not to be people who shun other people. Dragging them up the aisle. Bringing them up front. Making folks confess. Hold on, wait a minute. Just because this young lady or somebody, we know what happened, don't give us the right to judge them. Oh, they did that in Jesus' day. They brought her, caught her in adultery. In the act, the Bible said, of adultery. And brought the woman out. And gonna try to quote scripture to Jesus. The scripture says she should be stoned to death. But Jesus didn't say a word. Because he knew what the scripture said also. It said bring both of them. Y'all just brought one. The Bible said he just kept writing in the dirt. He probably was writing, y'all hypocrites. Y'all some mean, devilish folks. He was writing it in an unwritten tongue, though. But when he finally raised his head, he said, ye, without sin, cast the first stone. I love Jesus. He said, you can't. You do it. You want a stoner? Go ahead. I ain't going to stop you. But guess what? If you don't have no sin, you throw the first one. Get my fight. You want me to get you a brick? I'll get one for you. Don't try to accuse this woman like that. Jesus said, if you don't have no sin, you throw the first stone. Yeah. And I love what the Bible, how the Bible wrote it all out. Because the Bible said they all got sad within themselves. And they all walked away. What? Look, look, they all walked away from the oldest to, because the oldest knew better. From the oldest to the youngest until there was nobody left. And then Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are your accusers? She looked around. I don't see none. He said, then neither do I. Go on and sin no more. He didn't say, why you sleeping with that man? He didn't say, why you committing adultery? He didn't jump all in her business. He said, I don't accuse you. Go on about your day and don't do it no more. We want to know what they done, how they did it, who they did it with, why they done it, how much it cost them, what it's going to cost me, all that kind of stuff, getting all up in their business and everything else. Guess what? It's none of your business. You ain't God. You ain't got no heaven nor hell to put nobody in. You confess your sin, I praise God for you. If God set you free, I praise God for you. Because guess what? We all got something we got some issues with. Everybody in here going through something. And just because we can see the evidence of some people sinning, don't mean we ain't sitting in here sinless. Truth be told, some of us will walk out right now if God starts showing our life up on the screen. Oh, Lord, I ain't want the church to know about Lord Jesus. I ain't want the church to know. That ain't. And then we have the nerve to say, that ain't me. It is you. Look at Can somebody tell them, yes, you're a sinner? See, some of us couldn't even look at nobody and say it because we know we got stuff in us that we don't even want to. We don't even talk about ourselves. So if Jesus looked at this woman who was caught in adultery and said, I don't have nothing for you neither. I don't condemn you. Then who are we to condemn anybody? That's why so many folk done walked out the church. Because they've been shamed in front of the church. The church should be a place for healing, for deliverance, and setting people free. Not to bring them up and shame them. Y'all made me forget where I was at. I'm right there. There we are. One of the most repeated sermons Jesus preached was, judge not. If you ever wanted to hear a preacher preach the same sermon over and over again, it would have been Jesus. And the topic would have been this, judging other people. So guess what? Don't judge, just love. Red, yellow, black, white, young, old, they're all precious in his sight. And it goes far more than skin color. Hey, we even love church folk. Hey, preacher, say that. It just irks me the wrong. I don't like church folk. Well, wait a minute. I can't stand church folk. Jesus did. That's why he kept going to the church. Jesus church is a church that is growing. And if we're not growing, then something's wrong. If we're not producing new babes in Christ, then we do not love people the way Jesus said to love them. You see, an outside the box church is a church that is willing to do whatever it needs to do to reach its community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Methods may change, but name may change, but the message is still the same. Jesus. Don't play with the name of Jesus. Don't act like you know him. You better know him. Can I say that? Don't act like you know him. You bet. Don't act like you know him. You better know him. We just read in Acts 19:13-16, some folk acting like they know Jesus. Trying to release somebody from a demon. The demon looked at them and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But when you acting like you know Jesus, the demon don't know you. Will beat you down, strip you naked, and send you out of the house running and crying for your life. That's what the scripture just read. And outside the box church is not locked into traditional mindset. This is why the book of Acts, In the book of Acts, the church that Jesus started was so effective in reaching the world. It reached across boundaries that no one wanted to cross for generations. And outside the box, church will attract people. It will draw people. It will appeal to people. And that's the reason. And the reason that it does is because its arms are generally open to all and not closed or in a clique. There are no big I's and little U's in this church. We should truly care about people. We should truly love people. We should want to help people. We should want to minister to people. We should want to preach to people who sincerely want to be changed by the power of the gospel and who wants to reach the world with the message of Jesus Christ. In our text today, we hear about a church that turned the world upside down with the gospel of Christ. In 2 years, they went across the whole province of Asia. And they start to literally shut down the worship of the goddess Diana. If you read on down in Acts 19, the silversmith who made the silver images of the god Diana, he got mad at him. Listen to what he said. Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. In other words, we're making golden statues, silver statues of the goddess Diana. We're making money with that. Moreover, ye see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people. I'm losing money. Because if they're not worshiping Diana and they're worshiping Jesus Christ, they don't need no idol. They ain't buying no statues from me. Saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. That's my craft. That's my livelihood. That's what I do. But this Paul preaching about Jesus, and there is no statues of Jesus. There is no idols of Jesus. They don't want no idols of Jesus. They don't want no images of Jesus. Jesus lives in their heart. I can't reproduce that. I can't make no money from that. So that not only this our craft is in danger of being shut down, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Paul had one man, had such an effect on the Asian land that they started shutting down these temples that worship the goddess Diana. What are people shutting down and walking away from when you preach Jesus to them? Are they giving up their idols? Are they turning away from their wicked ways? Are they starting to believe Jesus in their hearts to the point that they're loving him more each and every day? Huh? The early church was an outside-the-box church. It reached this generation with the gospel. It was an on-fire church. It was a worshiping church. It was a giving church that no one was in want. It was a loving church. It was a forgiving church. It was an enabling church. It was a growing church. It had no boundaries. It had no limits. It had no walls. It had no boxes, but they had Jesus. Not in a box, but in their hearts. Let me say that again. They had Jesus. Not in a box, but in their testimony. They had Jesus. Not in a Bible, but in the words that they would speak. Amen. Tell somebody, get out of the box.
Get out of the box.
And let Jesus use you this day. Give the Lord a praise. We praise God for all of you. Thank God for you today. Get out the box. Get out the box and let the Lord use you for his glory and for your good. Don't let the devil tie you up, straddle you down, and keep you in a box that God didn't build for you. There is no box. There's freedom. And he who the Son set free is free indeed. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Thank you, Lord.
There might be somebody here today who want to be free.